This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Carrie, do I sound congested?
You do a bit, Meghna.
Yeah, sorry, that was a little gross. But anyway, it's a good introduction to the fact that flu season is hitting Massachusetts early and hard. Not to say that I have the flu, but as you can hear, I am a little congested. Joining us now to discuss this very intense flu season is Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Meghna. I do think the phlegmy tinge of your voice is very appropriate.
I promise not to sneeze on you.
Thank you.
But there is apparently new data from both the Centers for Disease Control and the Massachusetts Department of Public Health regarding this year's flu season. And what is it showing?
Right. It shows that this flu season is very early. Things are really heating up about a month or so at least before they normally do. And it is looking like it's quite widespread. One of the main measures they use is what percentage of patient visits to certain doctors are concerning flu-like illness. And that's already extremely high.
Well, then on top of that, there's a huge amount of, it seems, anecdotal evidence.
Yes, a great deal of anecdotal evidence. I mean, on my own Facebook page, one friend said, all I want for 2013 is to stop coughing. You know, and other people are talking about having just very extended, prolonged periods of misery.
Mm. Well, yeah. Let's bring another voice into this conversation about why this might be happening. And it is Dr. Robin Colgrove. He's an infectious disease physician at Mount Auburn Hospital. Dr. Colgrove, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So Dr. Colgrove, you know, as Carrie just shared with us, it seems like we are seeing more cases of flu this year than is usual. How can that be?
Well, it's absolutely true. There are more cases that you can actually measure. The tough one is we're seeing many more atypical cases than would be true in past years. In ordinary years, it's pretty easy to recognize the flu during a flu outbreak. It has a classic onset of abrupt fevers, chills, muscle aches, and malaise. We're seeing people who are clearly positive by the flu swab test who don't have those symptoms, and it's hard to know what to make of that so far. And so
do they have symptoms, gosh, knock on wood, that I don't feel like I have, but maybe I do, that there's just this long, weeks-long prolonged malaise with what feel like cold-like symptoms that don't quite go away?
Right. There's an initial illness that usually has at least some degree of fever that goes away. But what people are complaining about is this prolonged period of cough, upper respiratory symptoms, and generally just not feeling good. And that's unlikely to be from continued growth of viruses. Flu viruses and other respiratory viruses don't last that long.
Do you have cause for concern that there's this whole new set of symptoms that now are being associated with the flu?
Well, it depends on what you mean by concern. It's bad enough to not feel good for months, but it's not particularly dangerous. What we don't know is whether those people with mild symptoms are in some way continuing to shed virus that might put others, more traditionally vulnerable populations like the old and the medically frail, at risk. I think that's just not known yet.
My personal takeaway, Meghna, has been I told my elderly dad yesterday, like, you stay away from everybody. Even if it seems like they just have a cold, we're not sure exactly with these atypical symptoms what exactly is going on there.
Mm. And I suppose that economists out there are saying it doesn't matter if you have a fever or not, but if you feel lousy for several weeks and you don't go to work, then there's a productivity issue, too, in terms of our economy.
Yes, that's actually been known for quite some time, that if you do mass vaccination for influenza of a population, worker absenteeism drops substantially during flu season. So there are economic effects as well as health effects.
But Dr. Colgrove, on that point, and again, maybe this is just anecdotal evidence, but I think I've heard a lot of people who say, I got the flu vaccine this year, and nevertheless, I came down with the flu.
It's true. Again, the data aren't there yet, but anecdotally, we're seeing more people who have been vaccinated and have flu-like symptoms and then test positive by the rapid antigen test for the flu. Even under the best of circumstances, the flu isn't a perfect vaccine, and it's a matter of some debate among epidemiologists about exactly how efficacious it is. But clearly there are more people this year saying they got the flu after getting the vaccine.
Do you mind if I ask why that is? Because if it's not efficacious, does that mean that there are just new strains of flu that people are coming down with, or that the effectiveness of the vaccine wears off over a period of days, weeks, months?
All those things are true, but they don't seem to be true this year. So every year around February, the CDC and the WHO and the FDA get together and decide what's going to be in the year's flu vaccine. But some years, they just miss. And in those years, the vaccine doesn't work. That's not true this year. This year, a vast majority of the strains that have been analyzed so far are a pretty good match One of the things that we know makes epidemics worse is panic. So people overreacting to epidemics of all sorts, including seasonal flu, can just make matters worse. I will say that most of the people we're seeing who have confirmed cases of flu and been vaccinated have relatively mild cases. I've yet to see a severe case of the flu this year in a vaccinated person.
Well, Dr. Colgrove, a little earlier you mentioned that one thing that makes pandemics worse is panic. And Carrie, we are living in the digital age, and I've heard that, for example, on Google, Facebook, things like that, given the intensity of this flu season so far, there's a bunch of new sort of digital apps trying to track flu infection?
Yes, that's right. Google Flu Trends is probably the best known, and they're predicting possibly even a record year. But it's only a prediction, and it's really, and I think as Dr. Colgrove would tell you,
and it's based on searches.
It's based on, right. Google Flu Trends is based on searches that people do for flu symptoms and so on. There's also a cool project out of Boston Children's Hospital called Flu Near You, where you can sign up to actually give your reports to them. It's sort of a crowdsourcing project where they'll send you a little survey once a week and ask you how you're feeling and how your family is, and then it all gets put onto a map.
Dr. Colgrove, I mean, you're a physician. I'm sure you're well-versed in the fact that patients come in saying, oh, I've seen this on the internet, or I got this app saying XYZ. How much stock would you put in these sort of digital trackers?
The digital trackers themselves are actually pretty good as an early warning system. For example, the Google Flu Trends tends to pick up the rise of flu several days before it appears in official data. But for actual information about the flu itself, what should I do, what should I be worried about, I tell people to ignore basically everything on the internet except what comes from the CDC, the WHO, or your local public health department. There is so much bad information that it causes more trouble than it can help.
And for people who might be feeling ill or wonder if they are coming down with the flu, what should they do?
It's a good question, because we don't know what to do with the people who are mildly ill. The easy cases are people who have a new onset of classic flu symptoms. So if you have the first day where your fever goes up to 103, you can go on antivirals, and the antiviral flu medicines can probably shave a day or so off your illness and probably decrease the severity of your illness and decrease substantially the rate that you'll transmit. What we don't know what to do about is the people with milder symptoms. And probably otherwise healthy people who are not pregnant, have immune systems are okay, doesn't have other illnesses, can probably just sit home and drink chicken soup. At-risk people, and again, pregnant people, the elderly, really should get seen, tested, and treated as early as possible.
Dr. Robin Colgrove is with the Infectious Diseases Division at Mount Auburn Hospital. Dr. Colgrove, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health Blog, thanks to you as always.
Thank you, Meghna. Feel better soon.
And you can find a link to Carrie's post about this year's flu season at commonhealth.wbur.org.
And we've got some chicken soup bubbling away for you, Meghna.
Oh, thanks, Anthony.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.